This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. It's coming up on 10 minutes after the hour of 6, the DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open steady to 2 higher, beans 1 to 3 lower, wheat steady to 2 lower. The overnight crude oil market 39 cents lower at 103.25. The Brent crude 23 cents lower at 121.48. The June gold contract $6.40 lower at $1,674.20. while the U.S. dollar index 0.165 higher at 79.450. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 6.39 1/4, up 11 1/4. July wheat closed at 6.44 1/2, up 11. September wheat closed at 6.57, that was up 6 1/2. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 6.37 1/2, up 1 1/2. July corn closed at 6.29, up 2 cents. September corn closed at 5.64 1/2, that was up 1/4. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 14.41, up 19. July beans closed at 14.44 1/2, up 20 1/4. August beans closed at 14.32, up 19 3/4. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 394.60, up 78. July meal closed at 396.60, up 77. August meal closed at 390.10, that was up 63. May soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 57.23, up 78. July oil closed at 57.60, up 76. August oil closed at 57.79, up 76. And May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 334, up 4 3/4. July oats closed at 337, up 4 1/2. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans and wheat sharply higher. Good weekly export sales figures for soybeans and two other export sales of U.S. soybeans was enough to push prices higher. The USDA announced the sale of 115,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China and another sale of 189,000 tons to an unknown destination. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 1 cent higher at 6.30 to 6.46, while soybeans were up 18 to 19 cents at 14.18 to 14.29. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 2 cents at 6.41 to 6.62, soybeans advanced 18 to 19 cents at 14.27 to 14.43, and wheat prices up 10 to 11 cents at 6.18 to 6.39. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids mostly 2 to 3 higher, ranging from 639 to 644. Soybeans advanced 18 to 21 cents, ranging from 1428 to 1431. And the soft red winter wheat closed mostly 10 to 11 stronger at 635 to 637. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady to 2 cents stronger at 647 to 654. Soybeans advanced 17 to 19 cents, ranging from 1443 to 1448. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery up 11 at 627 to 635. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 5 cents stronger at 665 to 666. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 18 to 19 cents with quotations at 1462 to 1464. Soft red winter wheat up 11 cents at 661 to 662, and the Milo 2 cents stronger at 617 to 618. In addition to our grain report, we have the Illinois production cost report tonight. In that report, anhydrous ammonia ranged from $780 to $885 a ton, an average of $832.59. That is $5.38 lower per ton. Urea ranged from $590 up to $760 per ton, an average of $684.13. That is up $92.25 per ton. Liquid 28% nitrogen ranged from $3.85 to $4.29 per ton, with an average of $407.40, up $17.50. Diammonium phosphate ranged from $600 to $690 a ton, an average of $632.31, up $1.85. Monoammonium phosphate at $6.45 to $7.25 per ton, an average of $6.90, that's up $10. Potash ranged from $5.80 to $6.70 per ton, an average of $633.75, down $1.75 per ton. And the farm delivered diesel fuel ranged from $3.69 to $3.80. That's an average of $3.74. That's up a penny per gallon. That is our grain and cost of production report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
And at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April hogs closed at $83.52, up 35. May hogs closed at $93.12, up 60. June hogs closed at $93.22, up 57. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 121 and a quarter, up 287. June cattle closed at 117.15, up 210. August cattle closed at 120.15, up 210. April feeder cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 151.10, up 250. May feeders closed at 152 and a quarter, up 282. August feeders closed at 155.10, up $3. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, April 12th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, the leader cogs, barrels, and gilts closed $1.34 higher, with a carcass-based price range of $71 to $85, weighted average of $80.32. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 12,000. Illinois Dirks Brown Gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois Dirks Slaughter Sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds from 45 to 50. 450 to 550 pounds, 47 to 52, and over 550 pounds at 50 to 53. Today's estimated receipts, 675, and Wednesday's actuals, 850. Pork carcass cut out, 78.82, and that is down 71 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 417,000. Last week, 415,000. A year ago, 395,000. Week to date of 1,526,000. Cattle for today and last week, both 124,000. A year ago, 128,000. Week to date of 460,000. Fox beef cutout values were weak to lower on light to moderate demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Total movement today, 182 fab loads and 46 trim. Choice at 176.70, that is down 36 cents. Select at 176.76, and that is down 92 cents. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 355 heads sold Wednesday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers a dollar lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 122.5 to 126. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 118 to 122. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 112.5 to 114.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 106 to 112.5. Heifers choice 2s to 3s at 122.5 to 125.5. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 118 to 122. At the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville, 280 head sold yesterday. No accurate price comparison available due to auction not being covered over the last several weeks. Slaughter cows, breaking type 84 to 88. Boning type cows from 80 to 85, lean cows 75 to 80, and slaughter bulls, your grade ones at 91.5 to 98.5. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, so far for Thursday, trading in the Southern Plains has been very limited on very light demand. Few sales steady with the bulk of Wednesday's trades at 122. Nebraska and Iowa, Minnesota trading has been slow on light demand. Nebraska light test of dress sales, 198 to 201. Wednesday's bulk sold from 194 to 195. Live sales on Wednesday at 122 to 123.5. Iowa, Minnesota live sales mostly steady at 122 to 124, with a few up to 127. Dress sales 2 to 4, higher at 196 to 200. Negotiated sales week to date of 100,000. At the Real Livestock Auction, Real Hay Auction over at Congerville, 920 bales sold. Compared to last week, hay and wheat straw in small squares sold steady to 50 cents lower. Alfalfa, good quality small squares at $2.25 to $4. Alfalfa mixed grass, premium quality small squares from 5 to 5.5 and good quality $2. Mixed grass, good quality large rounds at $10, and wheat straw, good quality small squares from $1 to $1.25. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.73, up 13. For May, $14.68, down 20. For June, $14.89, down 8. April butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, $143.5, unchanged. For May, $143.5, unchanged. For June, $146.25, down a quarter. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, 125, down 2.5. For May, 123.5, down 1.5. And for June, 125, down 1. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 142.5, unchanged. For block cheese, 148.75, unchanged. For barrel cheese, 140.75, down 5. And a quarter. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.48. For May, $6.35. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.40. And for May, $6.27. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.26. For May, $14.29. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $6.24. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Once again, the pre-opening price is corn at Greenfield, $6.48, corn at Scottville, $6.40, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.26, wheat at Scottville, $6.24. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It's coming up on 6:22. Color radar in the Weather Center showing no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Your family safety is important to you. By choosing Comfort Pro Propane from M&M Service for your home heat, you can be sure that you're getting a safe and economical fuel. Furthermore, the Comfort Pro staff at M&M Service are properly trained to make sure that your propane system is in proper working order. So don't take unnecessary risks. Contact M&M Service today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies across mid-Illinois for today with showers possible. High temperatures in the mid-60s with southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies for tonight with a chance of a shower once again. Low temperatures in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, Saturday, windy and warmer with occasional showers. High temperatures in the mid to the upper 70s. And your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, cloudy and cooler, a chance of a shower on Monday. Low temperatures in the mid-40s, high temperatures in the upper 50s. Right now, light south winds, the barometric pressure steady. Partly cloudy skies, 50 degrees on this Friday morning. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Litchfield National Bank, by the Sloan Implement Company, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. First of all, in our farm news today, yesterday at the Greenville Livestock Auction, compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents higher. Slaughter Holstein steers sold about a dollar lower. Slaughter cows, slaughter bulls, and feeders were not reported. Slaughter steers accounted for about 51% of the total run, slaughter Holstein steers 23%, and slaughter heifers about 26%. Slaughter steers, choice 2 to 3, a package of 21, averaging 1,376 pounds, broad 123.71. Slaughter steers select and choice, a package of 15 head, averaging 1,229 pounds, broad 120.33. Slaughter Holstein steers, a package of 4, averaging 1,539 pounds, broad 113.39. Slaughter Holstein steers select and choice, a package of 8, averaging 1,374 pounds, broad 111.20. And slaughter heifers select and choice, a package of 11, averaging 1,090 pounds, brought 119.96. Total receipts yesterday, 355 head. Last week, 552. A year ago, 789. The Lincolnwood High School FFA banquet was held Thursday night in the high school gym. Several members of the community were recognized for their contributions to the chapter's foundation. $1,500 was raised. The chapter also received a $2,500 check from Monsanto for the chapter. Alumnus Lee Martin accepted on behalf of the chapter. And the Lincolnwood FFA chapter also received about $6,000 from the family of the late Wally Helm, given as memorials to the late ag teacher. The chapter star award went to Aaron Crawford, who also won the Sorrells Scholarship presented by Earl Sorrells. An honorary FFA degree was given to Floyd Johnson. Also recognized were senior Kyle Waldeck, junior J.C. Littrell, sophomore Casey Littrell, and freshman Jordan Myers. The chapter also seated new officers for the next school year. Earlier this week, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. We talked about the supply and demand report that came out earlier this week. He explained that there are many reasons why traders are hoping for a big corn crop this growing season.
You know, not only for demand side worldwide and domestically, you know, for corn usage, but also the seed corn crop. You know, after the crop we had last year with production down 50-60% pretty much across the corn belt for the seed production, if we have another bad year for that, we would be in a very dire situation for seed next year. You know, everyone kind of joked this year, are we even going to have enough seed to plant the crop? And that's not really the case. We do have it, but the question is, what does the quality look like? But if we get to have something like that 2 years in a row, then there probably could be a lingering concern about what kind of seed we can get on the ground, even the first time around for planting for next year.
And something like that would carry over for a couple of years past, especially if you have two bad crop years in a row.
Well, it certainly would. And, you know, a lot of these companies have tapped into as much of the supply down in South America as they can possibly get their hands on. But will that be enough to fill a gap if we got a production problem? Again, time will tell on that. But there's going to be a lot of focus on that seed corn production, not only seed corn, but conventional production for corn this year. And we'll have to see how these markets act to make sure it stays elevated enough to keep some risk premium in the market for all those reasons. And, you know, of course, weather is the biggest underlying factor. And, if you can predict that, you can have a lot easier time in this marketing environment. But the way things have been, just the extremes, you wonder if we'll go into a more natural, traditional pattern. But again, switching from, you know, La Nina back to El Nino would be a big benefit to us. And a lot of people are calling for that in May, but again, time will tell. Time is always going to be, something that will reveal a lot of answers for everyone.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. There isn't much corn around, and what's left needs to last until the fall harvest begins to arrive. Todd Gleason reports on how the commodity markets are being used to ration a small supply of grain.
Last season's corn harvest was big by historical context, but really small by today's standards. Now, that smallish number was compounded by a not-so-great growing season. It's a confusing way of saying, had the harvest been a good one, there would have been plenty of corn around. It was not, and now the world, the United States, must come to grips with how to make what's still left last until this coming fall's corn harvest, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
The driving force will continue to be making sure we end up with some inventory of old crop corn. So the job of the market right now for corn, as it has been historically in tight stock situation, is to ration the remaining stocks of corn until the new harvest is available. And what kind of price that takes is going to be a function of what's revealed in terms of how fast we're using those remaining stocks. We'll look at weekly ethanol production, weekly exports, and gauge whether we're using too fast or too slow, and whether prices have to go up or down to adjust that rate of consumption.
The figure the Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says the trade won't know until June is how fast livestock is consuming corn in the months of March, April, and May, and what impact it should be having on the price of corn. Still, the price will be set, and Good has some ideas about how that will be done.
What we're going to see is that old crop corn prices are going to remain fairly high and obviously remain at a substantial premium to new crop prices until the market is convinced that we've done an adequate job of rationing those available supplies. Then as you get into later in the summer, obviously if the market's convinced that rationing is done, new crop is in good condition, then I would say that inversion, the premium of old crop to new crop, will begin to dissipate a little bit, and then clearly as you get into harvest, it becomes one price.
That one price is difficult to define and depends a great deal on how the growing season progresses. If farmers, as they said they would in March, plant a record-setting 95.9 million acres of corn this year, that one price, it will be much lower.
The new crop price has to, I think, reflect that risk or uncertainty about how big the crop is. If we get into July and August and things are going well, I think there would be room for new crop prices to come down even more from where they are now.
Lower, but as is always the case in the commodity markets with price projections, it depends on what the trade does not know just yet. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Food and Drug Administration has issued a guidance document that calls for a substantial reduction in antibiotics used in livestock in order to keep the drugs from becoming ineffective against human infections. Chief Veterinarian for the National Pork Producers Council, Dr. Liz Wagstrom, says producers will only be able to use antibiotics for health purposes, and there will be a phase-out of processes for other uses.
What we hear from FDA is that anything that says improvement of growth or nutritional efficiency will be phased out over a three-year period, and then they'll reevaluate progress after 3 years and determine if they need to have even further regulation.
Dr. Wagstrom says what the guidance ruling means is more cost for producers and consumers.
We expect it will cost producers more money to produce animals. For two reasons. One, because we expect there will be more sick and dying pigs, and we also expect there will be pigs that grow slower or need more grain to get to market. So that's going to be an economic burden on producers. How much of that is actually passed on to consumers, that's hard to tell. That's going to depend an awful lot on other market conditions. But both of those things will likely not be good.
Dr. Wagstrom says that will lead to higher-priced food, more dead and dying pigs, and higher costs of production. She says the FDA will work with animal health companies to help them apply for and get new labels for animal disease prevention.
What FDA has done is said prevention, control, and treatment are necessary to preserve animal health. The other thing they are doing that may help producers out some is that they are working with the animal health companies to say, if you felt that the low-level doses that were previously used to improve growth actually were preventing disease, here's the type of data you'd have to give us to get a new claim for disease prevention at that level.
The Food and Drug Administration is allowing drug and livestock industries to comply voluntarily with the phase-out of the antibiotics. Recently, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to Jim Kaichuk of the Illinois Pork Producers, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. Jim Kaichuk is Executive Director of the Illinois Pork Producers. We spoke with Jim recently about legislative issues affecting the industry in Springfield. He talked about the Ag Group's work recently on behalf of the industry and about the Livestock Management Facilities Act, how it works here in the state.
I think one of the things that we did as an agricultural industry in our negotiations from last year about this time till the end of January this year with the Illinois EPA, negotiating and discussing about, you know, how to handle the federal CAFO rules and how those are going to be applied to the state. One of the things that members of the General Assembly told us last year was when the agency had their fee proposal out there was, hey, we're with you now, but you guys need to pay attention to what they're saying. The state needs money. You know that. You're the only industry out there that's not paying any sort of fee for these things, so you need to work with them. So what that told us was, okay, we got it now, and we can hold it back. We can put our finger in the dam and hold it, but we need to work towards a solution. And our working towards a solution on that, this over the past year, in my opinion, I think has bought us a great deal of credibility with members of the General Assembly that the ag community is willing to come to the table and have a discussion if it's fair, rational, and reasonable. And there's a level of compromise from all sides. My point being is that, you know, I think on the LMFA, the groups that want to amend the LMFA, you know, they really don't have an interest, in my opinion, of compromise and being able to have a successful livestock industry in this state. And that makes it much more difficult for us to successfully negotiate or agree to anything with folks whose interests are as disparate as they are from ours. With that said, you know, I think that we can certainly have conversations with the Department of Agriculture, but the LMFA, if you look at all the places that have been contentious over the last year, if you look at McDonough County, if you look at Hancock County in specific, if you look at Livingston County, all of those, you had county board action on those. The county board ultimately approved those facilities, specifically McDonough and Hancock, with, you know, certain questions that they had. But my point is the process worked. So changing everything around in the LMFA, other than these folks' interests of just them not getting built, period, really won't solve anything. And it certainly won't help the economy of the state.
Illinois, if we do want to attract new businesses, and it goes along with that, with livestock operations, this doesn't seem to be the way to go if we're going to put more roadblocks instead of roads.
Right. Completely agree. And I think, you know, what we talked about in terms of some of the economic impact was, you know, a number of new spaces being built in Illinois. And that's a construction impact of, I think, estimated around $12 million. That's great. But beyond that, we didn't even talk about the sustainable impact, and that's corn and beans sold and served directly here in the state, in addition to the processing, the trucking, and everything that goes along with it.
Jim Kaichuk, Executive Director of the Illinois Pork Producers. I'm Rita Frazier here on WSMI.
Also in our farm news today, Handy Feed Handyscape Incorporated has surrendered its operating licenses to the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The grain warehouse has been closed since April 2nd. When department staff discovered assets are insufficient to meet the requirements of the Illinois Grain Code. Anyone who has grain in storage at the facility or has not been paid for grain sold to the company is encouraged to attend a meeting. It will be held next Wednesday evening at 6 at the Millstadt Knights of Columbus Hall. Once again, the DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open steady to 2 higher, beans 1 to 3 lower, wheat steady to 2 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 39 cents lower at 103.25. Brent crude, 23 cents lower at 121.48. The June gold contract, $6.40 lower at $1,674.20. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank, by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by the Sloan Implement Company, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.